Whoa, that was kind of loud. It is a joy and an honor to be here this morning with my brothers and sisters in Christ. So praise the Lord. All right, the electronic stuff is working. Man, I'm technologically challenged. So it's a blessing and an honor to be here with you guys today from the Windy City. So I had a little assistance driving, you know, with the wind pushing my vehicle here the other day. So I'm here and I'm safe. Praise the Lord. It's always a blessing to get a chance to fellowship with new brothers and sisters and some of you guys that I already know. So thank you for having me. I'm come here today. I want to do a little show and tell. But before we do the show and tell, I want to get into the word right off the top. It is my belief that the most overlooked imperative in all of Scripture, the most overlooked imperative, what's an imperative? A command. I would say imperative would be synonymous with the word command. The most overlooked imperative today would be about making disciples. If you think about everything that the whole Word of God talks about, the framework of everything that we should do as believers in Jesus Christ, all is within that framework of making disciples, whether it's evangelism, whether it's teaching, whether it's preaching, whether it's fellowshipping in the breaking of bread, if it's worshiping God in song through the proclamation of his word, that all, in my belief, is within the framework of making disciples. And so in Matthew chapter 28, I mean, you guys probably already are there because it's the out of the three synoptic gospels, to me, it's the clearest of them where it talks about making disciples. And so Jesus has been resurrected. He's sent word to his disciples to meet him in Galilee, and now he's there, right there in verse 18 of Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and in the Son and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even into the end of the age." I love that last part, and lo, I'm with you always, right? The Lord Jesus does not ask nor command us to do anything that he's not going to be right there with us every step of the way. And as a matter of fact, he's left the greatest gift outside of his son Jesus down on the cross, and that's the Holy Spirit to live within us. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives within us. So we have God, the Holy Spirit, with us every step of the way as we go into make disciples. And so it's just a couple observations I want to make from this text. And then I'm going to get into the show and tell portion of this time I have. First, in the text, we see it just says, "Go, therefore." Pretty simple, right? But again, in the framework of discipleship being often overlooked, "Go, therefore." When I hear this word "go," that motivates, right? It motivates to action. It's something that we must be intentional about doing. You know, if we're not intentional about making disciples, we can find ourselves just caught up in the everyday things of this life. You know, with work, family, children and extracurricular activities and all these things. And all those things are great. But if we're not careful, if we're not intentional about seeking out that everything we do be motivated in the context of us making disciples, that's evangelizing, right? That's talking to people about Christ who don't know Christ, right? Sometimes that entails strategy. I'm a person that likes strategy. I like game plans. I like sports. So when you're in sports, you like planning and plotting. You want to see who the opponent is, and you want to see how best to attack the opponent so that you can win. So to me, there's strategy that needs to be implemented. You know, whether it's inviting someone over for a meal or meeting at a Panera or a Starbucks or a good coffee place, that may be a mom and pop place around here, to have conversations with people about Christ, whether it be in the workplace and spending your lunch hour with them, whatever means you can do in terms of trying to reach people, to talk about the bad news, right? We always hear the good news of the gospel, which is great, but before there's good news, there's bad news, right? The bad news is we're lost. We are lost in our sin, and we're on a pathway straight to a sinner's hell. That's terrible news. Terrible news for every person in this world, that God will judge us according to our sins, right? And we know that the wages of sin is death. So we can expect eternal separation from God. We heard about this in the beginning today, about when Jesus was praying, if there be another way, let this cup pass from him. He understood this wrath, this eternal, not eternal for him, but this separation that was going to occur, this break in fellowship that he'd never experienced before, right? He knew that was coming, and he didn't want anything to do with that. That's something eternally those of us who are not in Christ will have to look forward to. But see, then there's the good news, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through his son, Christ Jesus. So then that's where the good news comes in, that a man came, right? Not an ordinary man, a man sent by God. A man sent by God who was obedient every step, every second of his life, in obedience, in accord with the Father, a perfect man, the only perfect man. And then he would go to die. I have a lot of pet peeves in life. One of my pet peeves is when people say they killed Jesus. And it's a personal pet peeve, because I like to say you can't take something from someone when they give it, right? They didn't take Jesus' life. Jesus gave his life, right? There's a difference when someone takes something, because quite frankly speaking, maybe you didn't want to take him from you. But Jesus came to deliver himself up for the sins of everybody in this whole world, for those who would choose to accept him as their savior and make him Lord of their life. And it didn't stop there, because without the resurrection taking place, we would have no assurance that one day we too would rise again. And so we can have that absolute assurance that when Jesus rose again, that one day we too, those of us who are in Christ, will rise again. And so, amen, that's a blessing, right? I'm not as scared of the grave. I'm not scared of the grave, right? I may be sad one day because I may be departed from some people who I care about. But man, the joy in heaven that we all who are in Christ can expect, we can't even imagine. We cannot fathom the goodness. There's many books that's written on heaven, and I'm always skeptical, because it's like, okay, there's stuff in God's word about heaven. But man, there's a ton of stuff we don't know. And it's like, there's enough to write a whole book about? Like, man, I don't know. So I want to bash anybody or make anybody feel bad that may have a favorite book on heaven. But the joy, right, of getting the chance to meet my Savior, for us to meet our Savior, right? And I hope they have baseball up there, because I want to strike Jesus out and I want to hit a home run off of him. And I hope that's not sinful, but I don't want to do it in a degrading way. I want to do it like, yes. And Jesus probably will say, man, that was a great hitter. Boy, that was a great slider you threw. You know, so there's joy that we don't even have a clue about in heaven that we can look forward to. And that's because of the birth, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so once we understand that, we have a decision to make. I usually share with men every week when I'm in the jails, that this is the single most important decision you'll ever have to make in your life. What do you do with this man, Jesus? What do you do with him? Is he just a mere man who was a figure in history, like a Stalin or a Hitler or a Nero? Those are all historical people that lived on this planet at some point in time. And so was Jesus. But was he more than that? Was he more than just a man? Was he the Messiah? Was he the one that was sent by God, who willingly gave his life to die for mankind's sins? Because you see, if he's just a mere man, then there's eternal implications for those that choose to just believe that, right? And that'll be the eternal separation, that they will live in this sinner's hell that wasn't even created for mankind, who was created for Satan and the angels that chose to follow him, but a destination nonetheless that God, not by any choice of his own, would allow people who've not chosen his son to live eternally separated from him. And that's a sad, sad day. It's a sad eternity. But for those who do choose, then there's a total different implication, which is a great implication, which is awesome, that we'll get a chance to live forever in perfect joy and harmony with no sin, no sickness, no disease, nothing negative, only goodness, only joy. Like, we don't even understand what that's like. We can get a taste of it here, different things
on earth that happened in our lives. Maybe it's childbirth. Maybe it's that promotion at work. Maybe it's being delivered from a sickness. Like, there's joys and good things that happen, but man, I don't think it compares to the goodness that we'll have in heaven one day. And so we have to be intentional about going to people, to having these conversations, whether it's going to their place or bringing them into ours. But I believe that our life should be framed by going to make disciples. And so we have to be intentional. We have to go. And then the next step, once we go, is the making of the disciple. And to me, I like to call it life on life. You know, disciple making sometimes has to be at a distance, but I think it works better when you're in proximity, right? Proximity, when you're in close quarters with a person and you're investing your life in their life. And they become what I like to do and what I'm working towards currently in my life is not adopting, but welcoming people who would otherwise be strangers into my life, into my existence. And I don't mean just meeting at a coffee shop or having dinner every now and then. I'm talking about if there's graduations, if there's parties, if there's funerals, if there's weddings, like anything I would invite immediate family to be a part of, then these will be people that I'm going after, that the Lord Jesus Christ has put in my sphere of influence. I'm going after these people. I'm pursuing them so that I can help instruct them in God's word. Because that's what the rest of the verse says. It says, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So we see all the things that Jesus throughout the New Testament has commanded his disciples as he's done life on life, right? Like we can't do that maybe in the context of today where we just get a couple men and they just follow us around everywhere and we sleep in the same place. You know, that probably won't work, at least here in America, but we can still give it the old college try, you know. We can give it all we got to try to immerse our lives and intertwine it with other people's lives. But it's instructing them in God's word. It's bearing burdens with them. When they're going through something, make it my business to go through it with them. When they're crying, man, maybe it's a shoulder for them to cry on. Maybe I sit there and I cry with them. Right? When there's some joy going on in my life, say, hey, come get some of this. Be a part of this. It's basically just being available to people, to meet them where they are, to help be a witness, to help be salt, to help be light to these individuals, to hopefully win them to Christ. To hopefully win them to Christ. And so, let me get my phone turned back on. Okay, yeah, so it says, go therefore, make disciples, and then it says to all the nations. So I would say, don't restrict yourself. You know, I'm not trying to restrict myself. I get emails and calls from people in different areas, and it's a chore. It's a chore when somebody lives, if you know anywhere, the Chicagoland area. I live in West Chicago, which is in between St. Charles, Winfield, and kind of Wheaton and Naperville, that area. And I get calls from way up in Waukegan, which is by the Wisconsin border. It's not easy trying to do life on life with somebody like that. That's like an hour and a half away, and that's if traffic on a good day. It's not easy, you know. But it's through prayer and seeking the Lord to see, God, is this person, are you putting them in my life so that they can be a disciple? You know, or is it just a one-time fix? Is it just a one-time prayer or leading them somewhere, or advising them? But it all comes from the framework of everything in life being about making disciples. And so I just want to encourage you guys, you know, I don't know where any of you are in your life when it comes to making disciples. But if we want to see this world change, if we want to see the government change, man, it starts with us. And it's not fussing at the article we read in the paper. It's not fussing at the TV. It's about doing something. And you know the first thing we got to do? We got to pray. That's the first thing we got to do, is pray. But we can't just stop there, right? If we want to see Christ affect people's lives, from our commander-in-chief, Donald Trump, all the way down to the lowest people on some board around here, and everything in between, if we want to see things change, God wants to use us. And that's a humbling thing to me. I spent over 15 years in prison, and to think that God wants to use me, it's like, nah, God, you want to use anybody but me. But you know what? God wants to use us, right? He's looking for some faithful men and women who'll say, you know what, God, choose me. I'm not concerned with my past. I'm concerned with where I'm at in Christ and what you want to do with my life. It's not about me. It's about you. That's the first step of disciple making, is it's not about me. It's about God. And we don't have to say, God, what do you want me to do? Go make disciples. Let me pray about it. You don't need to pray about that. Like, maybe pray about who you do it with, but don't pray and say, should I make a disciple? I think it's pretty clear. We don't pray and say, God, should I sin or shouldn't I sin? No, the word of God is clear. So we look at the word of God, we understand the word of God, and then we apply the word of God. And so whatever gifts we have, it's in the framework of making disciples. Whatever we do in life should be, I believe, you know, my argument would be the framework of making disciples should be, everything we do should be within that framework. And so with that being said, I want to do a little show and tell, and this is all about discipleship for the most part. This will give you kind of a glimpse of what it's looked like in my life of being discipled and what it looks like in my life as now kind of passing the torch or kind of doing what somebody else did with me, doing with other people. So take a breath here. Okay, the first slide. In 1985, a young man decided to disciple men and women in jail and prison. And that man was Randy Gruber, as you can see his picture here. And I'm sure all you guys have met Randy, unless you're new and you haven't. I encourage you to meet him, man. A great man and a great influence in my life since the first day I met him. But he began with a handful of students with the Emmaus correspondence courses to sending them into jails and prisons and actually going into jails and prisons to disciple. That was his, if you ask him, that was his framework. I want to disciple people, and I'm going to choose the least likely slash the ones nobody wants to know about, be around, or even think about. So he's choosing the bottom of the barrel. And I'm glad he chose the bottom of the barrel because I was at the bottom of the barrel. But that's what he chose to, and he got to a point to where he was unable. So many people were responding to the courses that it became overwhelming, and the Lord gave him an idea. The Lord was gracious, I believe, and kind to Brother Randy, that he gave him the idea to use these men that he had been discipling to be workers for Set Free Ministries. And they opened their first office in 1994 at Potosi Correctional Center. In 1994, incidentally, I was convicted of attempted murder and first-degree armed robbery, and I was sentenced to life in 100 years. I was in Clayton County Jail when that took place, and I didn't know Christ. I wasn't born in the church. I was from East St. Louis, committing crimes all over there in the St. Louis area, and end up getting convicted in Missouri, and I got sentenced to life in 100 years. And my first day in Clayton County Jail, a guy came and gave a gift to me, and I thought he was trying to make a move on me, so I went to go kill him later on that night. And when I ran into his cell, he was having a Bible study, and he gave me a gospel tract, and I went back to my bunk, and I read, and I gave my life to Christ. And so I just shared that little tidbit so you can understand where I came from and kind of how I got to the point of being in Christ. And that was a huge day in my life where I was transformed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And so that's where it began. But then I got just a few months after I got to Potosi Correctional Center, and Randy opened his first office there, which was a little closet. And I remember we had one computer and two workers. And I remember he had a Bible study in that room, and it was like, if you were claustrophobic, you wouldn't come, you know. But that's where it started, and since then it's made its way to a big office in Potosi Correctional Center, and then there's been a second office for a number of years in Southeast Correctional Center, which is in Charleston, Missouri. And so I don't think it was a coincidence that Randy's office opened in 1994 and I got to Potosi in 1994. You know, there's no such thing as coincidence. Chance, dumb luck, any of that kind of stuff. And so I began studying the Emmaus courses while I was there and being discipled by Randy. So I take courses. Randy would come in, lead a Bible study. He always made himself available. So this would be kind of at a distance, right? Like he couldn't take me home and invite me for a meal, which I would gladly have went, and probably everybody in the prison would have said, I'll be a disciple. But as best as he could do with him sacrificing his life. When I say sacrificing his life, I choose my words carefully. Sacrificing his life, which entails affecting other people in his life. Right? Because living for Christ is a sacrifice. Christ sacrificed his life for us, and therefore we should be sacrificing our lives for him. Right? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. you know, present our bodies as a living sacrifice. And so I began studying the courses, going to his Bible study. After a number of years, I became a volunteer worker to comment on courses. That was kind of a part of his discipleship, was to disciple people and get them brought up to a point to where they could then pour into other individuals. And so I did that for about 15 and a half years. And then I was just released in 2009. I was just released. It's like that. They just let me go. I don't have no explanation other than God did it, and I only got so much time, so I can't tell you all the details, but I was let go, and now I put on this little thing, let's see what the Lord has done. And so I started working for Set Free in 2012, and I became the regional director for Set Free Ministries for the state of Illinois, where I've always resided except for my incarceration. And that entails getting the courses into the prisons and jails. Let me make sure I'm not jumping ahead of myself. Okay. So distributing courses into the prisons and jails, going into the jails, and I go into Southeast Correctional Center once a month. So this Monday and Tuesday, I'll be going in there. And then teaching and then making disciples. You know, I'm the same thing that I learned from Randy, I'm trying to do with other people. And so that's what I'm doing there. On that last slide that you saw momentarily, I'm waiting for this to come back up, was me in a vehicle, and that's me on my way to Cook County Jail. Cook County Jail, I go on Monday evenings, and I go on Thursday the whole morning, and I get there about 9, and I leave about 1 or 1:30. And so I go there, there's about 10,000 people, detainees in Cook County Jail, roughly. At all times, you know, 9,500 to maybe a little over 10,000. It's probably about 2 or 3 city blocks worth of buildings. That's different divisions. And I go in there and I teach a Bible study on Monday. And we're in the Gospel of John. We're kind of going verse by verse, line by line. Thank you, brother. I pulled that out to push it in like he instructed me, but my computer's kind of weird sometimes. And so I go in there and do that on Thursdays. I go into the super maximum security prison where all these guys that you see on TV for all these murders, that's where they are. And I use the Emmaus courses. So I go into 2 different units. They each have like about 20 guys in one group and about 25 in another. They each have a course, and they do a chapter. And then the next week when I come, we go over that chapter. And we go over the multiple choice questions, and we're saying, this is the right answer. Why are these the wrong answers? So it's just going over it, right? It's more than just giving them the course and say, just do it. Most of the people, that is the case, because I can't go into every place. But the places that I'm allowed to go in, we can sit down and we can interact with the scriptures. We can talk about their life and what's going on. And we can talk about them not doing this to go home, right? Because that's what people want to do. They want to make a deal with God in some kind of way. So I was on my way to Cook County Jail. We do a lesson. The next slide would have been a picture of 2 pictures of our office here in St. Louis with courses all over the place being metered, filled into the envelopes. And we do Missouri, Illinois, North and South Dakota. Last year, we took over the state of Nevada and Kansas, and we do all the Spanish in California and Iowa. And so there's on those pictures, if we ever get them up, there's a ton of courses that go out like that every week or every other week. And so we might have to just turn it off and, yeah, turn it back on. I'm sorry, my computer's crazy. It's got some bugs in it. I'm not a computer guy. So there's a lot of work to be done. You know, we have a lot of volunteers that help us in the prison, outside of the prison, which I look around, I see some of our volunteers here actually in this room and many of them that aren't here this morning. And so that's one of the things that I'm blessed to be able to do. It's not the easiest thing getting into an institution with my background, but the Lord has afforded me that opportunity to do so. And so one of the next things that I get a chance to do, and if we get it up, I'll go to the next slide, is the Lord put it on my heart, because when I got out of prison, I couldn't find, like, church didn't look nothing like I was used to. And so I didn't feel comfortable with any kind of church, and probably because I was going to some semi-mega to mega churches where that's not my thing. But the teaching wasn't really, like, there wasn't anything I could find. And so I just wanted to go back to prison. I remember calling Randy and saying, I want to go back to prison. He was like, wait, don't do anything stupid. I said, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to commit a crime. But I'm like, man, I can't figure out life out here. Like, I can't find anybody to fellowship with. I can't find any Christian brothers that are more than just, I'm a Christian in name. But in terms of what their life looks like, you can't even tell. Like, no authenticity, right? And so, thank you. I can get it from here, brother. I think I got it. And so I decided to say, let's start a group. I want to start a group that'll be catering towards people that are coming out of incarceration, whether it be men or women. And this group will be comprised of people coming out of incarceration, the family members of people who have someone incarcerated, or if people that didn't fall into either of those categories, if they still just wanted to come, they'd be more than welcome to come. And so we started this group in February of last year called Restart. And basically Restart is a group that we meet at a church. We ask them if we could use their space. And so on Tuesday nights, we do this group, and there's a handful of components that we use and that we do. One is food and fellowship. I love to eat. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And obviously, I like to eat. So we're going to eat in fellowship for like the so from 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. We have a whole hour where we eat. We have a couple women that come in and they cook us a home cooked meal. And sometimes when they can't come, we'll get some Chicago deep dish pizza, which I had a picture of that on here in case you've never seen it or to make you hungry for some. So we eat in fellowship. After that, we sing about two or three worship songs. As you see, all those little, those are the songs. And so I'll click on one of those, and like that David Crowder song will pop up, and we got it on the monitor, and we'll just sing along while the actual artist is playing in the background. And so after that, we do a time of sharing, you know, much like what you guys do. If somebody has a verse, if they have a song, if they have something good, like a testimony, whether it be a salvation testimony or just testifying to something good that the Lord has done, they have an opportunity to do so. So we have about maybe 10 minutes set aside for that, and then prayer. So we have people that can fill out a little piece of paper and write their prayer on it. And then we got a couple brothers who will pray for all those requests right there on the spot. And then we have another sister who, man, this woman is phenomenal that God sent us. She types it all out in an email, and then she sends it out to us so we could be praying all throughout the week for one another. And then after that, we get into the Word of God. We started with, I'm just waiting for my cursor to come up. It's not coming up. We start with the Word of God. We started with the Gospel of John, and then we got done with that, and we went to the book of Acts, and we got done with that. And now we're in the book of Romans. We're just starting with chapter 12, actually, Tuesday. And we're just kind of going verse by verse. And so we got about 25 to 40 people that come every week. And these people have a lot of needs. Some of them aren't Christians. Most of them are. We don't discriminate against anyone. But it's just a way that I'm using this as a tool to try to not only meet people to disciple, but to create other people, create relationships organically within. You know, but the whole premise is for people to be discipled, to learn the Word of God, to have a place that's safe, to where they can vent or they can ask for prayer for things that's intimate to a certain extent that you couldn't get to go to a regular church. You know, you can't raise your hand and say, let me give a testimony. They're going to escort you out of there. At least where I'm at, they will, because they got security people there. So they do, with guns and everything. So that's part of what I do. And so we spent about an hour and a half in that, and that's just small group discipleship. The next group of slides is an event. So through going into the jails to disciple men there, to doing small group discipleship with this group, then also have individuals kind of one-on-one. So I had a couple slides with two individuals that I meet with on a regular basis. And we get into the Word. We also read other books. Like there's a book called Kingdom Man by Tony Evans, which is an excellent book for men to read to learn about, you know, what God has, you know, for you. And they got Kingdom Woman. They got Kingdom Discipleship, Kingdom Prayers, a bunch of them out now. But, you know, good, godly men who have written some good books to help us frame. Oh, thank you. To frame up what it is that it looks like to be a good, solid man or woman in Christ. We have that opportunity. Thank you, brother. So this is, I'll just backtrack briefly. So this is California Avenue going to Cook County Jail. That's one of the pictures from Cook County Jail. That's another different building. So it's pretty big, Cook County Jail. Here's a picture inside our office in St. Louis. You can see some of the volunteers. That's Ryan way in the back with the plaid shirt on. And then my wife next to him. And I can't remember the other. I think that's Gerda is one of the sisters. And then I can't remember the other sister's name. I'm sorry, to the right. Hopefully she's not here. I feel embarrassed. But those are some volunteers we have in the office. You can see all the stacks of mail that's there. Like, it's a lot, right? There's a lot of work to be done. Then we have our restart group. So this is inside of the church. This is some of the people that are there in the group. That's the Chicago deep dish pizza that you get to see. And then this is us doing some worship music. So you can see the little computer there that's hooked up to the monitor. People singing, other pictures of us singing. Then we go into a time of prayer where I think I was praying that night. And then here's the books we've studied, John, Acts, and now we're in Romans. Here's a couple guys that I meet with where we just one-on-one every week we get together and spend a couple hours meeting, talking about God's word. And then the last thing is creating events. And so another way is, how can I continue to figure out ways to draw people in so I can meet people? I love meeting people. I'm a people person, and I got to be around. I'm like a super-duper extrovert. If I'm by myself, you better come check on me. There's something wrong with me. For real, I'm not by myself that often, unless like I'm in the bathroom or something, but or the shower. But other than that, I'm around people. I like being around people. And so it's figuring out ways to engage people, not only for discipleship, but also engage people for the ministry. Because, like, the ministry is booming. Like, it's busting at the seams, and we need help. So it's figuring out ways that we can get people to learn about the ministry so that there can be opportunities for them to say, hey, I'll help. I wouldn't have known about it unless you'd have presented it to me. So it's like, okay, cool. So one of those ways is an idea I feel the Lord gave me a couple years ago, which was to create a simulated day in prison. A simulated day. So not in a real prison. So there's a retreat center in St. Charles, Illinois, called Riverwoods. And so it's renting a cabin and transforming that cabin into a maximum security prison. And so here's the pictures of jumpsuits. So these are people. I had 20 people in June 16th come to commit to doing this. And here's their jumpsuit. There's a waiver for them to fill out, that piece of paper. And so we're not liable if something happens. But this was at a little small church. They put their jumpsuit on. They put all their valuables in that Ziploc bag. They got onto a bus, and we bused them out to the place. It was about a 30-minute drive, because that's an experience, getting on a bus and going to prison. Here's a couple of the guards. The young man all the way to the right is my stepson. The other two guys have been incarcerated before, the one on the left in Arizona, the one in the middle in Illinois. Here's another picture. We have a young lady there. She was incarcerated in Illinois. So I wanted it to be real people, you know, playing these, some of these parts, because they know what it's like to make it authentic. This is what one of the bunk areas looked like, one of the rooms within the cabin. There was five rooms in the cabin, and we used four of them, five people in each room. And there was a bunk bed where they got a brown paper bag breakfast. They got a little plastic cup we ordered with a toothbrush and a little, like, real, this came from Bob Barker. That's where the prisons get their stuff from. And then a bottle of water, and then Emmaus course, the word of God. And so this is what it would look like being in prison. So this is what they encountered. And then here's a picture of these guys, just regular friends of mine. Four of them were former prisoners, one in four rooms, and then four non-prison people and others. And that was just, again, to try to help foster this environment of what it's like to be in prison. And so they're in the day room. They got open day room time. And so the reason why I did this was, one, to engage people. Two, to give a person opportunity to help financially. And so each one of these people, the goal was them to raise $500 each to do this. And in increments of $100 more that they raised, they got a special perk, like maybe a better job, or they got commissary, because everybody didn't get commissary. So there's a lot of things that took place throughout the day that I didn't show all pictures to, but just simulating the day in prison. And so the third reason, which was the most important reason, was that hopefully these people would experience this and they would say, wow, I had no idea. Like, I knew about the violence and stuff because everybody knows that, but I didn't know about these other emotional, like, sad dynamics that take place. I want to start helping people in prison. You know, I want to help in some kind of way, whether so there's a couple people that I've got applications to get in. I mean, it's a long process to get in Cook County Jail because they only take applications twice a year. But I got a couple people that's kind of in my hopper to get to start going into Cook County Jail. That's a win. That's a huge win for us. We got a couple people that's wanting to know what it looks like to help comment on Bible courses. If some of you people know what that looks like, it's time consuming, but it's a great work to get a chance to instruct men and women in the Word of God. And then there's some people that have said, you know what? I don't really feel that the Lord is calling me to work in the ministry, but I want to help see the ministry keep going. So I want to give to the ministry. So let me know how I can do that. And so the three things that I had hoped that would be accomplished was accomplished. And so I praise God, you know, for what he's doing and what he's going to continue to do. And so that's all I have. That's all my slides. That's all I have to say. And I'm pretty much out of time, but I'm sorry. Yep.
Okay. Here wanted to help, what would you tell them?
I would tell them to let's have a conversation so I can learn more about like what they want to do to help. I don't want to presume anything. So you want to help, man, that's great. What do you feel led to do? And if they say, I don't know, I just want to help. What do you need the most help with? Then because you're here in Missouri and not Illinois, I would defer to Brother Ram. I mean, I know some needs we have, but I still want to defer to him because he's the director of Set Free Ministry. So I want to defer to my good brother, mentor, and friend, Randy Gruber, to see what he might say we would need help with. Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a female counterpart
who goes into the women's prison? I don't personally have a female counterpart that goes with me, but I do know a number of good, godly women who do go into not only some of the, at least one prison in Charleston here, we got a couple women that go in to open our office down there every week, but then in Illinois where I'm at in Cook County Jail, and then I know another woman that goes around prisons with her husband. Yeah, we I know some women. My wife works with me full-time in the ministry, but going into the prison jail, that wouldn't be a good idea for her or anybody just because that's not her thing. Anybody else have a question? Back in the back. That's a good question. I don't have that data with me right now. However, I just a couple months ago down, so Southeast Correctional Center, that office in that prison, they do the courses for the state of Illinois. And then Potosi Correctional Center, they do Missouri and everything else pretty much. I just had them pull up the files for me from 2012 up until now. And we've had a little over 3,600 courses completed from Illinois. So that's from Illinois, not just Cook County Jail. So that's just scratching the surface, you know, of what can be done. But that's still a lot of people, 3,600 courses completed. Like that's 3,600 courses that people have gotten into God's word and read his word and completed a course. So to me, that's a victory. But I can get that data for you. I can get it. I can have it. If somebody wants it, just give me your email address. I can get it for you. Anybody else over here? That's a good question.
Some of us can't go into the prison ministry. Mm-hmm. But I'm just picturing all these guys, probably should be, and, you know, are heading that way. Perhaps they don't change their way.
That's a great question. So there's a bunch of different strategies techniques I would use. Before I would, if it's like a one time, like I was at Jiffy Lube one time, and I'm sitting there waiting to get my oil changed, and I had an extra coupon. And the person next to me, I didn't know if they had one. It was a lady. So I said, I got an extra like $10 off coupon. Would that be helpful? And she was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, here you go. And she was like, thank you. And I was like, well, man, praise the Lord. You know, like God blessed me with having two of them. And I only need one right now. So I'm glad to share it with you. And she said, thank you. And then I kind of waited a few seconds and I said, you know, could I ask you a question if you wouldn't mind? And she was like, no. And I said, man, you know, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and, you know, we're probably never going to see each other again, but out of my belief in Christ and his love for me and love for everyone, I just want to ask, like, have you ever heard of Jesus? Like, do you believe in God? Like, if you don't mind me asking, if it's too much, I understand. And she was like, no, I don't mind you asking. She said that she was Catholic, which, you know, that tells a story pretty much, right? And before we really could get engaged in the conversation, they called her her car was done. So that was all I was able to do. So we really didn't have any deep, meaningful conversation. But, you know, even getting a chance to mention Jesus and say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and God bless me with having this, like, that's, to me, that's just dropping little seed. It might be smaller than a mustard seed. You know, it's like the tip of a pen. It wasn't much. But if you get a whole bunch of those from different directions, it could turn into something big. If it's somebody I'm around for any length of time, it's not too different from that. I'm direct. I'm kind of passive aggressive, if you will. I'm passive aggressive with people. So I'll ask a lot of questions which are kind of aggressive in nature. Like, who do you say God is? Do you believe in a God? You know, so I'm trying to be innocent, but I'm trying to be direct at the same time. You know, when people say, you know, I don't talk about religion, I don't talk about politics. And I'd be like, man, you know what? I don't either. I don't talk about religion nor politics. I talk about God and about Jesus. And I pray for all those politicians. There ain't much to talk about, but just to pray for them. You know, and I try to get a laugh out of them. If I can make somebody laugh, then to me, that's one wall that's broken, right? That's like a little more comfortability. And so after that, I kind of try to be led by the Spirit, and I'm not trying to be all like philosophical or, you know, jump out of the question, but it is kind of being led by it. If it's somebody that you know you're going to be around for any length of time, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. That's what I try to remind myself that in every facet of my life, because I'm always going 1,000 miles an hour. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And so to be thinking that, to be praying for that person, and to do good acts of kindness, right? That breaks down walls. You go to lunch, pack a double lunch, you know, and say, hey, you know what? I packed the extra lunch. You know, I was thinking about you and here. Or maybe you, I mean, like, that. I don't know if you guys do that kind of stuff. It's not normal maybe for you to think that way, but it's thinking outside the box. You know, how can I get into this person? How can I develop a relationship and get them to really open up so we can have some meaningful conversation? That's the strategy, and it's learning who they are, what they're into, and it's kind of like becoming all things to all people, but don't sin. You know, Paul talked about that. I can't remember the scripture reference. I'm sure Brother Randy knows. It's one of the epistles. But, you know, it's learning about them. They like soccer. Say, hey, man, the World Cup is on. You going to the game? Or let's go to B-Dubs and check the game out. Our dinner's on me. You know what? It's going to sacrifice. Maybe you want to watch the football, American football, or maybe you can't stand soccer. Not about you. Not about us. It's about if you really want to make disciples and you want to impact people that don't know Christ, you got to step outside of yourself and you got to try to invest in people and find out things they like and you start liking them. That shows an interest. It's like dating, right? If any of you guys ever dated before, how were you courting your spouse before you got married? Court a person. Court them. That's a simple way. It may be funny or weird, but that's a simple way. Somebody you want to try to disciple, start courting them, just like you would court a young lady, but maybe in kind of a different way. But that would be my answer to that question. So I hope that's helpful in some kind of way. Anybody else have a question? Well, you might have you.
I just wanted to, last night, Lewis was talking to me about getting into Cook County Jail with Set Free Ministries. And I don't know how many of these people know this, but Set Free Ministries, I informed him, was inside Cook County Jail 45, 50, maybe it was 80 years ago or so. I don't know. But I'll tell you, one of the men in this assembly was one of the two primary men, Bill Wagner, started Set Free Ministries inside of Cook County Jail some 50 years ago. And he's got some stories to tell if you ever want to hear some stories from prison and jail ministry. But I just wanted to point that out, that Set Free Ministries has existed inside of Cook County Jail even before it started here in the church. So
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. That's good. Yeah, so if we can, so, you know, if you're interested, you want to know how you could potentially help, see myself or see Randy Gruber, and if it's not today, then see Randy Gruber. But let me close this time in prayer, and then we can go about our day. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this day you've given us, man. It's a new day of life, and when you give us a new day of life, there's days of rest, but then there's days of work. And so, Lord God, you have a work for each and every one of us to do. You've given each and every one of us a gift to help us with the work that you've called us to do, a spiritual gift as well as the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you've equipped us in so many ways that we need to be equipped to go out into the world to work, Father God. And sometimes we don't even have to be equipped. You know, God will equip you as he calls you. So, Lord God, let us not be fearful. Let us not be so consumed with our own agendas and our own lives and what we want to do, Father God. But let us let you in to more of our lives, Father God, so that we can be more workers for you. I thank you for all my brothers and sisters here this morning, the opportunity you gave me to share, and more specifically, the honor and privilege you've given me to work alongside Brother Randy and with Set Free Ministries to help deal with the population of people who desperately need you. But everybody in the world desperately needs you, Father God. It's just that you've called us to this specific ministry. So thank you so much for what you've called all of us to. Help us get to the point to where we can be doing everything we can to please you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.